Stephen, ever since he was little, has been known as a goof, a friend, a brother, a nerd, a dork, of course, a Star Wars and Harry Potter fanatic. But the one that kind of intrigues me the most, is he's always been an initiator. The one who always has to start something at school and get all his friends to join in.
If it wasn't for my brother, I probably wouldn't have done several things that I have gotten involved in school. For example, he pushed me to go harder in the weight room and on the wrestling mat. He even pushed me to do school plays and musicals. But at home, we might have a different word for Stephen. It might be known more as the instigator.
Stephen is definitely an instigator in many aspects. He likes to get that initial push going for something and just sit back and watch it blossom. He has encouraged some of those outliers in school to join FFA and other activities.
As one of those kids that my big brother has pushed, he never gives up on you. He gets you started and continuously comes back and asks how it's going or what he can do to help.
I know for a fact that Stephen has been an initiator and instigator throughout this last year. He's always pushing those FFA members he meets, those state officers, and anyone he meets, whether it's in the airport or on a plane, to leave that everlasting impact.
We are pleased to introduce to you our big brother,
your Central Region Vice President, within his retiring address, Everlasting Impact, Stephen Brockius.
Man, I'm a farm kid and proud to be from the country. Country folks! Now, I love all people, want to give everyone a chance to hoot and holler. If you're from a small town, city, or suburbia and proud of it, make some noise! This year, I've met FFA members from all walks of life, from the incredible mountain and salt life people of North Carolina, to folks as hip-hop is all get out from California, to the bayou-loving swamp dwellers of Louisiana. Fact of the matter is, we're all different. We all come from different places, look different, act different, and that's okay. But what if we're actually more alike than what we think? Check it out. I've drawn this nice little scale. On this end is us. Aren't we cute? And on this end of the scale is anyone who is different than us. For example, if you're a farm kid, then this is a city kid. If you're popular, then the person over here is not popular. Different people, different ends of the scale. This is how our brain works. Our mind begins to play the comparison game. Let's say this is you, and this over here is someone who you think has a better life than you. You think their life is so good because making friends comes easy to them. They can afford name brand clothing. People actually like their Facebook post. They're athletic, they never get nervous, they've got their whole life together. Now look at our end of the scale. We tell ourselves, I'm awkward, I don't fit in, I can't afford name brand clothing, I try so hard but I'm not good at sports or music or FFA. No one even likes my Instagram post. We tell ourselves that sometimes I feel worthless. Have you been here before? I have. In high school, I would find myself sitting at home on a Friday night by myself. I would wonder, where did I go wrong? Why does no one like me? My parents would fight. My girlfriend broke up with me. Things I thought I had control over, I actually had no control over at all. I told myself if I was just a little bit different, if I was a little more like them, that person on the other end of the scale, my life would be better. Have you ever thought if you had more money, if you were funnier, smarter, prettier, everything would be better? You see, looking at this scale, we see that other person's best, and we compare it with our worst. And it's not pretty, not fun, not fair. But let's take a look at it a little bit differently. That person who we compare ourselves with, they've got struggles too. I met people just this year just like you and me who have lacked confidence. People who have a lot of friends but struggle to build deep relationships. People whose family life is rough. Folks who feel pressured to keep trying out for the school play, run for chapter office, keep going out for sports because they're good at it, not because they actually enjoy it. But you see, that person who at times seems perfect, that person who we wish we were more like, maybe their life isn't all that it seems on the outside. No one lives the perfect life. That includes you and me. But through it all, you've got some great things going for you. For starters, you're in the FFA. I don't care what people say, you are smart, you are beautiful, you have potential to do great things. You've been blessed with the opportunity to go to school, to get an education. Someone believed in you enough to say, you're worth wearing this blue jacket. And today, you're sitting at the largest youth-led conference in the country, proudly wearing one. You see, if we take all these things on both ends of the scale and average them out, logically speaking, we're actually a lot closer together than what we think. So I ask you, who do you compare yourself with? Who do you wish your life was more like? Who do you not give the time of the day because someone's life is so different? You think they're so far on the other end of the scale that you've got nothing in common with them. Truth is, I'm guilty of it too, for simply passing by someone because of how they look or what they wear. I, Stephen Broxis, am guilty of comparing myself with others because in the past, I've envied the life that others have had. But you see, looking at the scale, I realize something. Surprisingly, we're more alike on the inside than we are on the outside. Traveling around the country, I've seen things this year that I can't unsee. I've had experiences that have rocked me to the core. Words can't express what it's like to sit and cry with a member in Colorado because her parents just got divorced and she feels torn being pulled both ways. Or what it's like to sit and cry with a member in Idaho whose father forced her to run for chapter office even though she didn't want to. Or sit and cry with a member in Iowa who's struggling with their sexuality, in Ohio who's struggling with their faith, in Oregon who's struggling with trust, in Maryland who's fighting with their friends. It doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. Words cannot possibly express how at the core of who we are as human beings, how similar we are on the inside. Wake up! Open our eyes! Deep down with every fiber of our being, each of us is the same. Each of us needs to love and to be loved. Now, I'm not talking about this fluffy kind of love like, I love hot dogs or I love Disney movies. No, it's something much more than that. According to ancient Greek, there are actually four types of love. Storge is affection or putting up with, like, I love my dog even after they peed all over my couch and messed up in the living room. Philia love is a general type of love and probably the most widely used in our American vocabulary. This is I love football, I love strawberry milk, I absolutely love the movie Frozen. Frozen fans? Eros love, on the other hand, is romance plus emotion with absolutely no logic. If your heart ever flutters as you see that cute guy or girl walking across the cafeteria, you know what I'm talking about? You see him, your heart's fluttering, and then the next day you see that same exact person, and you think to yourself, oh man, oofta, what was I thinking? Now, that's Eros love, and we're not going to talk about those loves. We're going to talk about something that has a deeper sense of true, unconditional love. And that's agape love. Agape love is selfless. It gives and expects nothing in return. It's the love that a student gives to their teacher when they give them an inspiring little note. The love a parent has for their newborn child. The love a friend shows you when they help you out when you're having a bad day, even though their plate is already full. So the question is this: How can we shape our hearts to automatically express this, agape love? Growing up, I'm thoroughly convinced that each and every person has a childhood superhero, someone who shapes our thoughts and beliefs. And for me, my hero growing up was my dad. It drove my mom crazy. She was getting me dressed in the morning because I always had to wear the same cowboy boots, the Wrangler jeans, the plaid button-up shirt, just like my hero. It always took Dad a lot longer to do chores in the morning because I was always nipping at his heels, asking if I can drive the tractor or do extra chores for him. But that's all right, because as a six-year-old, I love my daddy. You know what? That's okay. And while I did absolutely nothing to deserve it, my daddy loved me too. Think about your childhood hero. Is it your mother or father like me? Maybe it's that high school varsity basketball or volleyball player. Or maybe it's your crazy uncle or your ag teacher. You thought, man, when I grow up, I want to be just like them. Got it? Now think about the moment that you realized your childhood superhero is just a normal person. Someone has qualities that make them great and qualities that make them human. For me, I realized this about my superhero at the dinner table when I was 15. You see, the dinner table is a place that makes my heart smile. It's the place we would gather every Sunday after church, have mom's delicious homemade chicken and rice. Thanks, Mom. The place we would stay up late into the night playing Risk or Monopoly. It's also the place that I first felt tension in the air as my parents wouldn't look each other in the eye. The place my mother told us she was moving out of the house because my father, my superhero, after 15 years of marriage and 4 children, no longer loved her. Now, I thought that was a pretty bold statement. Because if after 15 years he didn't need her, then I guess that meant he didn't need me either. That night my world came crashing down. My mom moved out of the house. Things between my dad and I were rough. I didn't want to talk with him. No, actually I did, but I couldn't bring myself to because of what? The hurt he caused me, the pain he caused my mother, my family. There was this anger wrapped up deep inside me. There was this pain that I just couldn't let go. But time passed by. My parents worked hard to mend the wounds. They went to marriage counseling. My father, over time, eventually righted his wrongs. Mom moved back into the house. The fighting lessened. It was difficult. But after a long trek, my parents were once again happy. A year passed by, 2 years, 3 years. I'd come home from college, and their love for each other was stronger and deeper than ever before. And it showed. I remember one night we were sitting in the living room watching a movie. My parents were sitting on the love seat, holding hands, being all lovey-dovey like parents do. You know, that weird thing they do. Actually, all right, time out. On a side note, I don't know if your parents do this thing where they hold hands in public or kiss in the kitchen. But for us as children, it's kind of gross, isn't it? Like, actually really disgusting. So parents in the room, if you ever show public display in front of your children again, you're seriously making their life miserable. So stop, all right? My little plug. So time in. So we're in the living room. They're on the couch, holding hands, being gross. I'm on the big couch by myself, dreaming of the day I'll actually get to hold a girl's hand, and it hit me. For them, things were once again great. But for me, it wasn't. Something deep inside of me started welling up. Something saying, this isn't right. I felt this anger, this frustration, this pain towards my superhero. He wronged me, my mother, my family, and them just sitting over there like nothing had happened. It wasn't right. I wanted to scream, to hide, to get as far away from the situation as possible. I was in my room one night, pretty emotional. I just didn't understand. My mother came in, wrapped her arms tightly around me. And in that moment, I realized something. This burden I feel, this cage I'm trapped in, the ball and chain dragging behind me, the pain. My mother has none of it. the woman who had every right to be upset at the brokenness of her ideal marriage. She feels nothing but love. Now, how can that be? My mother was exhibiting one aspect of pure agape love. She said, I'm not gonna let my past dictate my future. And she did the one thing in her power to free herself from the hurt and the pain. My mother forgave. Forgiveness. Now, how does that make sense? I mean, why would my mother forgive him? Why should I forgive my father for the pain he caused me? Why should any of us forgive? When we withhold forgiveness, like I experienced firsthand, you suffer more than the person who hurt you. You feel this burden. You feel uneasy. It affects your everyday life. So what pain are you holding on to? Is it your parents' broken marriage? A surprise divorce? Maybe it's that bully who made your freshman year unbearable, or overbearing parents. Is it your friend that said something that crossed the line? Someone calling you fat, ugly, saying you're not beautiful. Your teacher saying you're not good enough. You see, we must face our past. The hurt, the lies, the broken and busted up things inside of us. Like my mother was able to do. We must face our past. Because our past isn't our past if it's still affecting our present. See, forgiveness, it's not pretending that it never happened. It's not excusing the behavior that caused you so much pain. Truth is, forgiveness is straight up hard. It's giving and expecting nothing in return. Forgiveness is agape love. And that's not easy. No, that's not easy. We must forgive. So, what are the benefits of forgiveness? To answer this question, I turned to my friends on Facebook, including many of you, and here's what you said. Forgiveness is weight lifted, peace of mind, friendship renewed. When we forgive, we're able to breathe. It's relief from burden, relief from guilt. Forgiveness keeps love strong. When we forgive, we receive a freedom and a love that is much deeper than anything we've been able to experience. You see, it's okay to not be okay. When we truly realize that no one is perfect, we're able to forgive. When we forgive, then and only then can we truly start to love. My freshman year of college, my great-grandma B, who is 87 years old, her and I were pen pals. You see, we'd write each other back and forth, sharing what's going on in our lives. I told her how I was an officer in the FFA. She told me how she was president of her 4-H club back in the day. You see, the last letter I sent Grandma was just before school got out. A couple days later, I got a call from my dad saying that great-grandma B had passed away. But it was in a kind of uplifting way, if that's at all possible. You see, Grandma could feel her heart beating fast and her breath getting short. I don't understand exactly how it works, but she knew it was her time. So she called up the ambulance, and as they were waiting, my grandpa was standing there, and great-grandma B was getting really concerned. Now, she wasn't concerned because she was going to the hospital to die, but because this was May. And in the Brox's household, we've got a lot of May birthdays. So just before the ambulance took her away, she told my grandpa, there's a stack of cards on the desk, $20 bills in my purse, stuff the letters, get them sent, I'll see you at home. What? My grandma is crazy. She's literally on her deathbed, and she's more concerned about getting those letters sent than she is her own life. You see, great-grandma B knew she wasn't going to have one more day on this earth. Yet she chose to give one last thing to the people she loved most, knowing she would gain absolutely nothing in return. That's agape love. So I dare to ask the question, how do you express agape love for people in your life? Make an excuse to insert yourself into someone's life when they're having a bad day. Strike up a conversation with that person you've never given the time. Maybe it's the janitor, school cook, the kid who sits by themselves, or even the person you've envied all year. Listen, speak, share, pray, promise, forgive, and embrace others for who they are. Do you see the big picture? When we truly understand life isn't about ourselves, it's about others. We look at that scale and we see we're standing right next to the person who we thought we were so different from. And in that moment, we're truly capable of forgiving. We're truly able to love others in a way that lasts far beyond our lifetime. You see, great-grandma B, she passed away on that ride to the hospital. College ended, a couple months passed by. It was the end of the summer and I was sitting at home when I received a letter in the mail that was forwarded from school. As I tore open the side of the envelope, pulled out the letter, I choked up as I saw the familiar cursive handwriting of my great-grandma B. It's like she was still here. In FFA, we pride ourselves on leadership. And when you boil it down, leadership is influence. If we want to be premier leaders, we must create a premier influence that lasts far beyond our lifetime. Just like great-grandma B, we must create an everlasting impact. So what's your great-grandma B moment? What will you do today that will impact tomorrow? I envision a world where we all humble ourselves to realize that no one's perfect. I envision a world where we all love each other for who we are. Humble yourself to realize that nobody on this earth is perfect. It doesn't matter whether you're standing on this stage or sitting in those chairs. We all make mistakes. We're all broken and busted up on the inside. Close the gap on that scale. Stop comparing. Start embracing. Don't be a superhero. Simply be human. Embrace different. Be real. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Love people for their core values, not their core failures. Love others, not because they deserve it, but because they need it. Embrace others in a way that will last far beyond your lifetime. FFA members, parents, advisors, and guests, y'all are my friends. When we have a deep, steadfast love for others, just like you've shown me these past 365 days, we will create an impact that lasts far beyond our life. Stop comparing, start forgiving. Love unconditionally and create an everlasting impact.